Václav Novák is a crisis manager, and with the ongoing economic crisis following on the heels of the financial crisis, things have been pretty busy for him. He has been in the headlines a lot recently after being bombarded into a top position at state-controlled carrier Czech Airlines and then suddenly stepping down. But he has a long line of Czech companies that he has pulled back from the brink behind him. These include steelmaking giant Vítkovice. I met him at his central Prague office and asked him if he was surprised by the government decision not to go ahead with the sale of Czech Airlines to the sole bidder.
Well, I think it was absolutely clear from the moment the envelope got opened. If you look at the structure of the offer, there is no reason to really take it seriously in terms of considering it to be a sale.
In what way was the offer not serious? I mean, they were offering a billion crowns. There were obviously conditions attached.
Billion crowns is a considerable amount of money, maybe not enough, but it still is a lot of money. But if you look at the conditions of the offer, it says you state as the shareholder would have to increase the equity to zero by the time of closing of the transaction. The equity would be, in my view, about minus 2 billion crowns, which means the state would have to chip in extra two billion crowns in order to get 1 billion back in the next 4 years. It does not really make too much sense.
And can you explain how it was that you came in at one stage fairly abruptly, came in onto the supervisory board of CSR, and then afterwards fairly abruptly were not there anymore?
I could have stayed on, but I did not. There's a few things that I find were completed. Namely to designing what to do with the company. The second one is arranging cutting costs of personnel and finding some help for the company because it needed help. And I declared on the outset of my stay there that the company would simply require the help of the major shareholder, which happens to be the state. One of the options from the very beginning was somehow getting the company linked to the Prague airport, which in the end really did happen. I think from the present point of view, it's a very good move. In the long term, some things have to be done to the company anyway, like cost cutting and some strategic decisions have to be made. And in my view, it has to be sold to a strategic partner anyway. But with the link to the airport, I think the company was in such a position, in such a shape, that my work was basically not needed for two reasons. Both of these two companies have the same shareholder, so I think they will know how to deal with the thing. The other thing, the managing director of the airport and now the managing director of the Czech Airlines, in my view, is a very capable man. I'm sure he can do the job. And that was it.
Putting it into context, how bad was the CSA case and how difficult was it to fathom what you needed to do?
In my view, from what I know after the few weeks of working on it, the airline business per se is not all that complicated. It's very competitive, extremely competitive. But the substance of it is not that difficult to understand. You are either the market leader in the top line segment or you have to be the cost leader. There is no other chance to stick yourself somewhere in between. In terms of the difficulty of the situation, it was pretty much the same like anything else. There were two major differences. The first one, it was very much in the public eye. Whatever happened there was in the newspaper the next day. But the most important thing that made it different from other companies that I have experienced, the business is very, very quick. Whatever change you arrange, you see it in the profit and loss statement within the next few weeks. So one has to be very careful, but on the other hand, one has to be quick, and it's good because if you are quick, you are successful. That's basically the only difference. Plus, in a company like this, you don't deal with some huge customers to whom you sell some huge investment parts or whatever. You deal with individual customers, and if you do something wrong, they'll just go and jump onto another plane. So you have to be careful, and the people have to be careful. I mean, the employees have to be careful as to how they treat the customer, because at least 30% of all the employees deal face-to-face with the customers, and that's a different thing from other companies. Other than that, if it was more difficult, less difficult, no. It was more political, that's another thing. But in terms of the business structure, I don't think it was more difficult.
Coming back more generally to the experience, a crisis manager, you've dealt with 25 or so companies?
About 20.
How bad is the situation sometimes when you're brought in? Is it really desperate? Is it really almost without hope sometimes?
Sometimes it's really desperate. If it's without hope, I won't go there. So there has to be a certain amount of hope. But sometimes it's beyond any belief that it could be fixed. I have experienced cases where we were just 2 weeks away from a total collapse. I was in companies where it was just on the verge of bankruptcy. Sometimes bankruptcy proceedings were about to start. I was in companies under a lot of attacks from creditors. I was in companies that have not enough money to function basically, that is paying out salaries, having running water, electricity, and so on. All these things is something that you can solve. What you need for that is just a little bit of time, not that much, a little bit of time to deal with the creditors face to face after you have found a solution. And if you can manage that, there is a pretty good chance that you'll succeed in the end. Because whether they like it or not, they're going to help you because it's their problem as well. But as I said just a few moments ago, it's important to know that before you start, you have a chance. Because there are cases there's absolutely no chance anymore and there's no reason to go in and get beaten up. Why would you do that?
And what personal characteristics do you think a crisis manager needs?
First of all, you have to like it, because it's in some parts of the world, it's not called the crisis manager, it's called turnaround artist, and that's pretty much what it is. It's a sort of art. You have to be excited about it. You have to like it. And on top, you have to have some qualities that probably you have to be born with. I'll just name a few. You have to be able to turn complicated things into something simple that you can explain to basically anyone. You have to have the ability to go head-to-head into a conflict, because without going into a conflict, there is no way to solve it. You have to have the ability to fall asleep in the evening, even though you know you don't have the money to pay the salaries the next morning. These are all the things that make you more likely to succeed or likely to succeed. But on the other hand, if you have this and you like it, because you have to be excited about that, you have to have fun. If you don't have fun in the critical things, then you might just pack it in and go away. But if you do have fun and if you enjoy it, there's a very good chance that you'll succeed in the end, because someone has to succeed. So why not the one who is not totally stupid and does the homework right?
So it's a big adrenaline buzz of the business.
It is. That's all there is to it. Yes, you do have to have the education. You have to know very well how to read the balance sheet. You have to have the experience how to deal with the people. You have to know a little bit about the legal structure of such a situation. These are all the things that you have to learn on the way. But the most important thing is the willingness to go into the adrenaline game and enjoy it. And if you enjoy it, as I said, you are quite likely to succeed.
And we talk these days about crisis, financial crisis, economic crisis. So are these good times for a crisis manager? Is there a lot of crisis work out there?
These are good times, of course. You know, the last 7 years of constant growth, it was not something to write home about. Even during those times, there were companies that were doing poorly enough to be an object of interest to a person like I am. But these are good times.